This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And when you get there, say amen, please. Hebrews chapter 12. When you get there, say amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Something's moving. Something's taking place in here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Amen. Right beside James. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Are you there yet? Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, Wherefore, let me just read this from the NIV. You all can read it from King James. Well, I'll read it from King James. We'll deal with the NIV later. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, hindrance, or things that hinder you, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible alerts us to the fact that we are involved in a race. And the race that we are involved in has been run before, okay? The race has been run before, amen? Jesus not only ran the race, but he also completed the race, okay? The race has been run before. Jesus not only ran the race, but he also completed the race. And if we want to be successful in completing this race that we find ourselves involved in, we must look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. If we want to be successful in this race that has already been run before, okay, we need to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, because he has already run this race. Well, Pastor, why should I look unto Jesus? I know you said he is running the race, but why should I look unto Jesus? Well, the reason why we should look unto Jesus is because the race that we are involved in is not a race against each other. It's not a race against one another. It is a race, a spiritual race, that will lead us to eternal life with God. Okay, it is a spiritual race that will lead us to eternal life with God. Amen. And there are two things that are required to run this race successfully. There are two things that are required. Number one, we must run this race with faith. And number two, we must run this race with patience. Are y'all still with me? We must run this race with faith, and we must run this race with patience. And our example to run this race with faith and to run this race with patience is no other than Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, prior to completing the race, he ran this race with faith, and he ran this race with patience when he was here on this earth. Are y'all still with me? He ran it with faith, and he ran it with patience, and because of that, he was able to complete the race that we are involved in right now. The difference between Jesus and us is he has already completed the race. We are still involved in the race. But because Jesus completed it, we can also complete it, but we must follow Jesus' example. And his example is the fact that he ran the race with faith and he ran it with patience. And for that reason, we need to connect to Jesus. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Because if Jesus was able to be successful in this race by running it with faith and patience, we need to connect to Jesus to find out how was he able to run this race with faith and with patience without giving up. Are y'all still with me? How was he able to do that? See, Christians, I don't know about you, but I personally need to find out. And once I find out how he did it, I need to follow his leadership. Why? Because he has already done it. See, I don't know about you, but if I have a task, a heavy task or a big task that I need to accomplish, I need to connect to someone who has already accomplished the task. I need to connect to them to find out how they did it. But see, some people don't like to connect to other people who have done something. They want to try to figure it out for themselves. My question is, why reinvent the wheel that has already been invented? Y'all still with me? A lot of people say, well, I'm going to do it myself. That way I know how to do it. Well, if someone has already done it, why would I waste time trying to figure it out myself when I can be using my time doing something else after I go to the person who's already done it so they can tell me how they did it? And if I follow the same pattern that they did it, then it will be easier for me to accomplish. Y'all still with me? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm talking about me. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So I don't need to reinvent the wheel because the wheel has already been invented, so I need to go to the person who has already completed the task successfully. Now, you don't want to go to no one who failed the task. You want to go to someone who has completed it successfully and find out how they did it and then follow their instructions, because if you do it the way they did it, guess what? You will pass. You will complete it successfully. Are y'all still with me? And what better person is there to find out how they completed this race successfully than Jesus Christ? I don't need to ask my mama. I don't need to ask my father. I don't need to ask my sister, my brother. I need to go to Jesus and find out, how did you complete this race through faith and patience? And show me how I can do it. Are y'all still with me? Because one of the two things that people struggle with as Christians is faith and patience. Are y'all still with me this morning? So if I struggle in those areas, but I need those two areas in order to run this race successfully, then I need to find out, how did Jesus do it? And the way he did it, I need to do it the same exact way. Are y'all still with me? He has already completed the race. He has already crossed the finish line, and I need to follow him. If you're looking for a title this morning for this message, it is called Crossing the Finished Line. Crossing the Finished Line. Now, Pastor, I got to ask you a question. Because you said out of your mouth that Jesus Christ has already ran the race that I am involved in. How can you say that? I mean, the Bible doesn't say that. Oh, yes, it does. Well, Pastor, I didn't see it in there. That's because you need to read below the lines. You need to put on your spiritual eyes. You need to open up your spiritual ears. Y'all still with me? Because the word, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And a lot of people try to understand the scriptures with their natural mind. Guess what? You can't do it. Now, you might read a novel out of the bookstore with your natural mind. But when you get into this word of God, you need spiritual intervention. And how many of you know the Holy Spirit will help you to understand this word so you will not lean on to your own understanding? Because when people try to lead to their own understanding, they misinterpret God's word. And then I'm looking at the screen, they say something stupid like, well, the Bible is all about how you interpret it. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's why people find themselves end up in a black hole. Why? Because they interpreted the Bible the wrong way. The Bible says, go towards the light. They thought it meant go towards the darkness, and they end up in darkness. Y'all still with me? So Jesus Christ already completed the race. But Pastor, the Bible doesn't say that. Oh, yes, it does. I want you to go back to Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, once again, it says, wherefore, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Another word for weight is hindrance, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run this race with patience. Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Now, let me read this from the NIV. You don't have to go there. I know, you know, some of you might not have NIV, but that, you know, the same verse, it says here, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. Throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Well, who marked the race out for us? Well, Jesus did. Why? Because he knows the course. He completed it. And what we need to do is follow the course that he completed. Y'all still with me? Now, the reason why I say that Jesus ran the race before us is because when Jesus Christ lived on this earth, before going up to sit on the right-hand side of the Father to make intercession for you and for me, before he did that, he faced a lot of hindrances in this world. He faced a lot of persecution in this world. You know, there were a lot of temptations for him to sin, but he did not. Are y'all still with me? He did not. He did not do it. Listen, when Jesus walked on this earth, although he was the Son of God, he was also the Son of man. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And some people will tell you that Jesus did not sin because he's the child of God. Well, that's not true. He could have sinned if he had wanted to. But he was on a mission. See, listen to this. Don't you know that Adam did not have to sin? Don't you know that Jesus and Adam were born the same way? Well, hold on, let me explain it to you. Don't run out the church. Y'all still with me? Amen. Jesus was born a supernatural birth. Adam was born a supernatural birth. Jesus was born without the aid of a father. Adam was born without the aid of a mother. So when Jesus was born, when Adam was created, Adam could have lived forever, but he allowed sin to come into his life. Y'all still with me? That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Are y'all still with me? See, Adam did not sin until he sinned. Are y'all still with me this morning? Adam did not sin until he sinned. Well, guess what? Jesus had the opportunity to sin because he was tempted. Listen, Christians, don't you know that if you cannot do something, you cannot be tempted to do it? If you cannot do something, no one can tempt you to do something that you can't do. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. Let's say, for instance, Earlene. Now, I don't believe. I know there was a song out one time that said, I believe I can fly, but I don't believe she believes she can fly. I mean, you don't believe you can fly, do you? So, I know she can't fly. So why would I tempt her to do something that I know she can't do? Are y'all still with me? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted. So that means that if he was tempted, then he could have yielded to the temptation, but he did not. That's why they couldn't kill him. Are y'all still with me? He was tempted just like you and I are tempted today. The Bible tells us that. Pastor, you're just making it up. Well, go to Hebrews. You're in Hebrews already. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. He faced the same temptations we face today. Hebrews 4. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Amen, amen, amen. The Bible is talking about us, talking about Jesus. I want you to look, for the sake of time, this lesson, this might be a part two, I'm not sure yet, but let's look at verse number 15. It's talking about Jesus. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But he was in all points. Y'all see that? He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without what? Sin. That means he was tempted to sin. He was tempted as we are. We face hindrances in life. Jesus faced them as well. We face temptation to sin in life. Jesus faced them as well. But the Bible says he was tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin. Well, how is it was Jesus able to make it to the finish line without sin, without yielding to temptation, without allowing those hindrances to slow him down and stop him? How was he able to do that? Well, I'll tell you how he was able to do that. He was able to do it through faith and patience. He was on a mission. I'm sure God prepared him for the mission. He knew he was going to face obstacles along the way. He knew he was going to face persecution along the way. But he was focused on his mission because he did not want to fail like Adam did. He wanted to make it to the finish line, cross the finish line, and complete the race, and that's exactly what he did. Are y'all still with me this morning? In other words, although he faced persecution, although he faced obstacles, he put his trust totally in God because he knew that God was going to do exactly what God told him he would do. In other words, God, you know, I don't know, I'll ask him when I see him, you know, I don't know for sure, but God probably told him, once you complete this mission, I'm going to bring you up until you can sit on the right-hand side of me, and you can make intercession for the people. Now, I don't know if God told him or not. I'll ask God when I see him, but I believe. I don't think Jesus just went up there and said, I'm going to sit on your right-hand side, God. I believe he had permission. Are y'all still with me? So if we want to be successful in this race that we find ourselves in, we have to follow Jesus. We have to look unto Jesus. The Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And listen to this. If he was able to complete the race, we can do it too. Why? Because his victory is our victory. If you are a Christian, if you're not one, you can be one today. He was able to do exactly what verse 1 and 2 tells us to do. What do it tells us to do? Well, let's look at it again. It tells us to lay aside, okay? You know, it tells us to lay aside, okay, every hindrance or weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look unto Jesus, because he's already done it, and he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me read Hebrews 4:15 to you out of the NIV. See, I like the NIV because it talks the way I talk. Well, maybe NIV talk a little better than I do. But, you know, it's kind of, you know, amen. Look what it says. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Because, I mean, no sin can stop you and I from reaching the finish line. It's not how we start the race. It's how we finish. A lot of people start, but they do not finish. And I'm going to tell you why as we go on through this lesson. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. If we want to complete the race, if we want to complete it, now some people might not want to, but if we want to complete it successfully, we must look to Jesus, okay? Because not only is he the author and the finisher, he's also the Alpha and the Omega. He's also the beginning and the end. So it starts with him, it ends with him, and everything in the middle better be following him. If we want to end up where Jesus is, okay, with the Father. Are y'all still with me? So if Jesus started the race, he competed in the race, and he completed the race, what that tells Pastor Ron is that Jesus knows the course of the race very well. Why? Because he has been there and done that. And if he knows the course that well, my Bible tells me to look into him. And not only does the Bible tell us to look into him, it tells us to consider him. Look at verse 3. It says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Let me read it from the NIV. It says, consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, and I put in parentheses, in your mind. What is the Bible telling us right there? It's telling us that we are going to face some things in this world that's going to affect us in our mind. And not only will these things affect us in our mind, they might cause us to lose our mind. Are y'all still with me? And if we are not careful, if we are not careful because of these mind tricks that Satan plays on us, because see what happens is that Satan, while we are in this race, he places obstacles along the path. And some of these obstacles, you don't know that they're there until you get to those obstacles. Are y'all still with me? And those obstacles he places in our path are there to cause us to give up and stop running the race. And I'm going to share some of those obstacles with us here very shortly. Are y'all still with me? So I have to, in order for me to run this race successfully, I need to follow Jesus. Why? Because the same obstacles that we face now, Jesus faced some of those obstacles when he was on earth as he was going toward the finish line. Are y'all still with me? So I need to consider how he did it. Well, Jesus did face some of the same things. The Bible says he was tempted at all points. Y'all remember that scripture? So he went through some of the same things. So I have to consider how he did it, because if not, when I start getting attacked, when I start facing these obstacles, I may just quit the race. And how many of you know there are so many Christians in this world who have started the race, and then they face obstacles along the way, and they have quit the race. They have stopped coming or going to church. They have stopped serving God. Why? Because they have allowed Satan to control their minds with these obstacles that he put on the path toward the finish line, because he wants them to quit. Well, Pastor, why does Satan want me to quit? Let me tell you why he wants you to quit. Because Satan wants you to quit because he knows that his final destination is not hell, but the lake of fire. And how many of you know he's looking for some friends to take right there and there with him? And they're not really his friends, they are his enemies. And Satan says, if I'm going, I'm going to see how many Christians I can take with me. Because how many of you know, even in the secular world, misery loves company. Are y'all still with me this morning? So we have to do it Jesus' way. It's a real race. Not against each other, but we're trying to get to the finish line. And we're going to face obstacles along the way. We need to consider Jesus daily. Because just because we're on the path on Monday, we don't know what kind of obstacle we're going to face on Tuesday. We need to consider Jesus on a daily basis. Are y'all still with me? And follow him and follow his leadership. Because if not, we will end up quitting the race like so many Christians have already done. They just give up. This Christian life is too hard for me. No, every life is hard in general. It should be easier for us. Why? Because we got King Jesus. And as long as we got King Jesus, we shouldn't need nobody else. Y'all still with me? I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated, abused, stoned, talked about. Some of you say it, amen. But long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus. And I remember back in the old days, they'd be like, Lord, Lord, and I got King Jesus. I don't need nobody else, amen. I just had a Pastor Ron moment. Y'all, I know y'all might not understand it. But just lead not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Because I didn't save myself. I was saved by the blood. See, the pastor didn't save me. The elder didn't save me. The missionary didn't save me. Only Jesus. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that Satan wants you to quit? And listen to this. Quitters never win. And winners never quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. And as a Christian, we should always win. Because Jesus gave us the victory through his death, burial, and resurrection. And if Jesus won, we should win. Because his victory is our victory. So a Christian has no business losing and quitting this race. Yes, trials are going to come. Yes, tribulation is going to come. Yes, we're going to face obstacles. But guess what? Jesus faced them also. And he faced them before we did. And he completed the race before we will. He knows the course. We might not know it, but Jesus knows it. So we just need to follow his leadership and his guidance, and we will come out on top like Jesus did. But we must run this race with faith and what? Patience. And as long as we depend on Jesus, and not ourselves, not our best friend, not our boo, loo, or zoo, as long as we depend on Jesus, we will make it to the finish line and we will be able to complete the race and be prepared to receive the crown that's waiting for us at the end. I don't know about you, but I want my crown. Are y'all still with me? Now listen to this. When we talk about a race, there are three parts to a race. The first thing we have to do is to make a decision to run the race. And when we make a decision to run the race, we have to understand there's three parts to the race. Number one is the start line. Number three is the finish line. And number two is the race itself. Are y'all still with me? See, once we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, once we made a decision to accept him, we made a decision to enter into the race. Are y'all still with me? And then after we accepted him, that's when the race started. We ended up on the starting line. Because we decided, Jesus, I'm a serving God. Jesus coming to my life, make me a Christian. I can't do it on my own. From this day forward, I'm going to serve you. How many of you know you were at the start line? And then how many of you know once you made a confession, the race began? Are y'all still with me? Now, the finish line, we can't get to it until we run the race. We can't cheat like people do in the secular world. They cheat. They won't run the whole race. They'll drive their car most of it, and then they'll get out in the woods, look around and see who's looking, then they'll run out on the track. Talking about they came in second place. No, you didn't. You cheated. But this is a race you can't cheat on. In order to make it to the final line to complete the race, we have to first run the race. And that's the condition we're in right now. We are involved in the race. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And on this race, there are many obstacles that we face in life. And some of these obstacles we face, they make us weak. They make us stressed sometimes. Y'all still with me? They cause us to think about quitting. Why? Because we get tired. Are y'all still with me? We get weary. We get to the point where we think we can't make it. Many people think about quitting, and then all of a sudden, where do you think about things at? Where? You think about quitting, then Satan would speak to your mind, because that's the battleground. He would tell you, yeah, if I was you, I would quit too. Well, he can't quit because he's already lost. But he wants you to quit. And most people say, this is what people say. Let's say the race is 20 miles, right? 20 miles, Pastor, you crazy? Amen. Let's say they ran 15 miles. Well, I'm not going to feel bad because although I didn't do 20, I did 15. No, you didn't quit. You quit. I ran 15, so I feel good about that. No, you quit. Whether you ran 15, 17, or 19, the race was 20 miles. And if you did not finish, you quit. There's nothing good about quitting. Because you can't win if you quit. The only way you can win is not quit. Y'all still with me? But a lot of Christians get into this race, and these obstacles start to hit them on the head like a frying pan, spiritually speaking. And they talk themselves into quitting. And Satan said, yeah, if I was you, I would do the same thing. And what do they end up doing? Giving up. That's what the Bible tells us. It says, don't lose heart. Once again, Hebrews 12:3, consider Jesus who endures such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That word lose heart means to give up. I need to focus on how Jesus did it. I need to understand that if Jesus did it, he did it for me, and he's leading and guiding me, I just need to follow him. But once again, it takes patience. It takes faith, because that's the only way we can run the race successfully. Because that's how Jesus did it. Are y'all still with me? Well, Pastor, once again, you said people quit. Why did they quit? Well, let me tell you why people quit. Once again, they face obstacles. Well, what kind of obstacles do they face? Well, they face obstacles, number one, when their spouses don't act right. The husband and wife is divided. And there's chaos in the house. And Satan's trying to get you all to separate, leave each other. That's an obstacle. That's the time we need to look into Jesus. That's the time we need to put our feelings to the side. That's the time we need to follow our pride and realize that God can save it if we allow him to. If we try to figure it out ourselves, it's not going to work. Satan says, go ahead and give it up. Go ahead and quit. Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is what? Light. Are y'all still with me this morning? What's another obstacle that Satan throws up? Your children. Well, my children are not acting right. They're not doing good in school. How much time are you spending with them in schoolwork? I'm looking at this thing right here. Are you spending time with your child or are you watching TV all day long? My child is not doing what, you know, I had them in church earlier, but now they're out of fellowship. But the Bible says train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. They may veer to the right a little bit or to the left. But that's not the time for us to condemn them. We need to believe what the Word says. They may be off balance right now, but we know that God is going to bring them back on the right path. So we need, instead of talking about them, we need to show them love. We need to let them know we still love them. Yeah, you're off track right now, but I still love you, baby. Everything's going to be all right. They're under attack, Christians, and especially in this generation. They're under attack. They're going through situations in life, dealing with mental things, and Satan will tell them, I ain't nothing wrong with you. When I was young, we didn't go through that. Guess what? You're not young anymore. Obstacles. Obstacles. That's what he does. To slow us down. Well, God, you know, I've been praying about this situation. You haven't changed the situation, God. You know, I'm not even going to church no more. They quit. Instead of operating in faith and what? Patience. Obstacles. Finances. People struggling. They're struggling financially. God, your word says that you will give me the desires of my heart. Yeah, that's what his word says. His word also says bring all the tithes to the storehouse. His word also says give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Well, to do what God says. Say, the mortgage person is going to come and they're going to evict you in 2 weeks. The Bible says God should supply all you need. Well, I ain't serving God no more because two weeks from now. Why are we worried about what's going to happen 2 weeks from now? 2 weeks I've not got here yet. The Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow should take thought for the things of itself. What we need to do, we need to trust God. If the Bible says God should supply all our need, we need to act like he's going to supply. We can't quit. But Satan will throw those obstacles against us to cause us to want to quit. You want some more obstacles? Okay, I'm glad you asked. He will use church people against you. You come to church to lift up the name of Jesus and somebody then got on your nerves. Listen, don't you know that Satan will use church people? Satan is not prejudiced. He'll use whoever he can. And people leave the church because they say they were church hurt. I submit to you there is no such thing as church hurt because the church builder can't hurt nobody. Y'all still with me? Somebody in the church may have hurt you, but the church didn't do it. But people will hold it against the church. Now, I'm not talking about word of knowledge. I'm talking about nationwide. Because they're looking for a reason to quit. And the church, somebody in the church gave them the reason. If they hadn't done this, I would have stayed. No, you wouldn't. Because if that's the case, you would go somewhere else. Are y'all still with me this morning? Pastor Warren's in Ralph form. Am I? Amen. You know, a family member, a job situation, Satan will use these obstacles against you. You know you're more qualified than the other person. But because they knew somebody, the people gave them that job. I was more qualified. Guess what? God got something for you too. And it would be better than that little old raggedy job that they gave somebody else, because they what they don't know is in about 3 months, the job is going to end. What am I trying to get us to see? We need to run this race with faith and patience, looking into Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Are y'all still with me? We cannot allow these obstacles to cause us to stop running the race. They may slow us down a little bit, but we got to keep going. We can't worry about what's behind us. We got to press toward the mark that's before us. Because if you turn and look behind you, you might just turn into a pillar of salt. And you will be more bitter than you were before you turned into the pillar of salt. Y'all still with me this morning? I'm just trying to help us. And when I say us, I'm talking about me too. Because I have to run the race with patience and faith also. Because Jesus did. If I want to be successful. Listen, it doesn't matter whether I'm a pastor or not. If I don't run the race with patience and faith, then I'm not going to cross the finish line. It doesn't matter. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to show favoritism to me because I still have to follow the rules. I still have to follow the laws. That's why you can't follow the pastor. You got to follow God. Follow Jesus. Are y'all still with me this morning? The only way to be able to stay the course without being thrown off course by these obstacles that Satan places in our life to cause us to quit, we have to do it Jesus' way. Because John 14:6 tells us, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way we can get to the Father is that we have to cross the finish line. We have to follow Jesus. There is no other way. Can't cheat. Can't cheat. You can cheat in his world. But even when you cheat in the world, God knows you're cheating. When I say you, I'm talking about me too. Isn't it good that the person who's teaching the word is also for them? See, sometimes people teach the word, they don't think it's for them. You know, nothing against any church. I just, Pastor Ron, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. One of the things that bothers me in church, now this is me, I'm just talking about me. I'm talking about me. Is it all right if I talk about me? I hate, that is me. Now don't be talking about, I know, no, I'm talking about me. Is y'all all right? Can I talk about me if I want to? I do not like to go to a church and sit on stage. You know how they have chairs on stage for the pastor? I don't like to do that. And let me tell you why I don't like to do that. Because there's nothing against people who do that. I don't like to do that. Because I don't want to be up on the stage like the word is not for me, but it's for everybody in the congregation. I want to be in the congregation. Because when the word is taught, it's for me too. And I don't want to be sitting back talking about amen, thinking the word is only for the people in the congregation. It's for me too. So, I really have a hard time. Now, if a pastor asks me to sit on stage, I try to get out of it. That's why I'm going to sit over here with our people. No, Pastor Ron, come on. Then I have to be obedient to the man in his house. But the whole time I'm up there, I'm like, Lord, please, help me. I'm talking about me. Now, I'm not talking about anyone else. Everybody else do what they want. But I need the word. I need the word. I need the word, and I want to be looking right in the face of the person who's teaching it. I'm talking about me. Okay, I'm going to get back to the lesson. Y'all still with me? Amen. We must follow Jesus' example, faith and patience. Don't you know one of the reasons why Satan attacks your faith and your patience? Because when he attacks us, what he's trying to do is to separate us from our faith in God. Because he realized how precious our faith is. And it's the same with our patience, okay? He knows that if he can get control of our mind, it will affect our faith and it will affect our patience. He knows that. I mean, he say know that. That's why he attacks us in the mind. See, because once the faith is gone, the patience is gone. Don't you know that faith and patience always travel together? No faith, no patience. Y'all still with me? They travel together. And see, his goal is to affect our faith and our patience to the point where we would just give up and quit. We would just stop the race. I got so much going on. I just can't take this. No, you can't. But God can. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are what? Possible. I need to put my faith in him. Y'all still with me? He knows that if he can get control, it will affect our faith, our patience, and it will cause us to want to give up. And as I've already said, a lot of Christians have given up. Why? Because their faith and patience have been affected. Y'all still with me? He knows that we cannot complete the race successfully without our faith and our patience. He knows that. Christians, think about this. If our faith and patience wasn't important, then why would Satan try to attack us? Why would he try to affect us? See, something that's not good for us, Satan want us to hold on to it. Anything that's not good, that causes us to sin or whatever, he wants us to hold on to that. But if there's anything that's going to help to change us, to do things God's way, or he tried to affect us in that area. Because he knows it's important to us. It's important in crossing the finish line. So he tried to attack it. Y'all still with me? We cannot allow Satan to affect our faith. We cannot allow Satan to affect our patience. Because if we allow him to do that, eventually, we will give up, and we will quit. And that's what he wants us to do. Once again, I said it already, because he's looking for some company to go with him to the lake of fire. He don't care how old y'all are, how young, how tall or how small. He doesn't care. He's just looking for somebody. And he's looking for Christians. Because listen to this. The people who have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, he already have them. That's what the Bible tells us, we must be born again. Are y'all still with me? I'm just trying to help me and help you all at the same time. We can't allow him to do it. Not only does the Bible tell us that we should live by faith, the Bible also tells us that it is faith that puts our patience to work. Don't you know faith works? I mean, patience works. Patients love to work. Unlike human beings, you know, people don't want to work. Patience loves to work. And faith puts patience to work. Listen to this. Are you ready? Tribulation also puts patience to work. Pastor Ron, you mean to tell me that tribulation puts patience to work? Well, it doesn't want to put it to work, but it does. How is that? Well, how many of you know that I'm glad that you asked that question? I'm going to show you in about 3 minutes. Pastor, what you going to do for the next 3 minutes then? I'm going to continue to talk about running the race with patience and faith. Y'all still with me? Faith puts patience to work. Without faith, there is no patience. Are y'all still with me? I can say it again and again and again. Without faith, without patience, we would not cross the finish line. With faith and patience, we would be able to cross the finish line. As long as we follow Jesus. No faith, no patience. I want you to go with me, please, a very familiar scripture to many of us, maybe not to others, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to show you, prove to you what I just said. See, a lot of people say things and they can't prove it. I got to prove it to you by the word, not by Pastor Ron, but by the word. Faith puts patience to work. And patience love to work for you and for me. James chapter 1. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all ready? You sure? Y'all ain't saying that. Maybe y'all still just letting it soak in. Y'all good? Look at James chapter 1. Talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians. The Bible was written to Christians. Did y'all know that? He's talking to Christians. Look what he said in James 1. The Bible says, talking about James, you know who he is in verse 1. Verse 2 says, my brethren, talking to Christians, count it all what? Joy when you fall. Y'all see that? It said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Christians, contrary to unpopular belief, he is not telling you to count it joy when you fall into temptations. He is not telling you when you're tempted, count it joy. That's not what he's saying. I don't know about you, but I have never seen any temptation that was joy. Now, maybe your temptation is joy. Mine is not. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this. So whatever the knowing this is what he's telling us to count joy. Are y'all still with me? He said, count it all joy knowing this. Look at what he said. What I need to count joy. What I need to count joy. He says, count it all joy when you fall knowing this. Verse 3. That the what? Trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. When your faith is being tried, patience goes to work. When your faith is being tried, patience goes to work. When you're facing these obstacles that I mentioned earlier, your faith is being tried. Satan is trying to test your faith. So when your faith is being tried, you know how it is. Like, let's say for instance, these fire lights in here, and right now these lights are just sitting there looking pretty. But as soon as the power go out, what comes on? Well, maybe y'all never seen exit light before, but y'all ain't asked the question. Amen. When it's dark in here, these lights are still on. Why? Because they take the place of the lights that went out. See, while these lights are on, these exit lights, how many of you pay attention to these exit lights when you come in here? Well, I don't. I don't need them because these lights are on. But when these lights go off, then I recognize the fact that there are lights there. So if I want to go outside the door, I'm not stumbling over somebody. Because, you know, when you stumble over people, they might want to fight. Listen, I can see where I'm going because these lights will lead me out the door. Well, how many of you know patience exists whether you have to use it at a particular time or not? But when your faith is tried, that's when your patience shows itself. Because the trying of your faith puts patience to work. And look at what else the Bible says here in James. It says in verse number 4, but do what? Let patience. Y'all see that? Notice what it says. It says, let patience. Okay, now, for the sake of this lesson, I'm going to add a word in the Bible. I'm not adding to and taking away from, because it's talking to us. So I'm going to say, you let patience. When your faith is being tried, you let patience. The Bible says, let patience have her what? Perfect work, so that you may be perfect, the word means mature, and entire, complete, wanting nothing. That means that I have to allow patience to go to work in my life when my faith is being tried. Why do I need to let faith, patience go to work? Because when my faith is being tried, as long as I stay on the word and trust in God with all my heart and lean not into my own understanding, in all my ways acknowledge him, I know that he shall direct my path. In other words, he will take me out of the dark situation and bring me back into the light. But I have to operate in faith. Now, the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. Y'all still with me? So if I can see it, it's not faith. Because faith is the evidence of things what? Not seen. So if I have a need from God, regardless of what it is, it doesn't matter, because the Bible says, my God shall supply you a need. If I have a need from God, I have to operate in faith, because although I have the need might not show up on Monday. It might not show up on Tuesday. It might not show up in 2 weeks. So that's why I have to put my faith to work, because my faith takes the place of the thing until the thing gets here. And then when the thing gets here, I don't need my faith for it anymore. I can use my faith for something else. Y'all still with me? Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I can't see it, but I need it. So yeah, I can operate in faith, but I still need to see the thing in the natural eventually. Well, you know what causes people to waver in their faith? They don't let patience go to work. I need to be patient in that situation, knowing that I might not get it on Monday, I might not get it on Tuesday, I might not get it in 2 weeks, but my God shall supply my need, and I need to let patience go to work so I can have patience to know that I don't have to start stressing out and pulling my hair out worried. Are y'all still with me? Let patience have her perfect work. That means patience's work is perfect, and patience love to go to work. That's what I need to have patience. Y'all still with me? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, I won't get there for the sake of time. I will look at it next week. We'll do part 2 next week. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, it says, tribulation worketh patience. Well, Pastor, how does tribulation work patience? Well, when you're being tried, hey, I'm looking at the clock. Amen. When you are being tested by trials and tribulation, your faith is being tried. When you face persecution, your faith is being tried. So when a tribulation comes, faith is alerted to the fact that it's being tried. So faith rises up when tribulation comes. How confused anybody? When tribulation comes, when persecution comes, then we have to allow our faith to rise up. Because the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. So when tribulation comes, faith rises up, and then faith put patience to work. Y'all still with me? Faith put patience to work. Now, I'm getting ready to close, but I'm going to leave you with this, and you don't want to miss next week. A lot of people, Christians, make a mistake by convincing themselves that they do not have patience. When you convince yourself that you do not have patience, you are lying to yourself and you are lying on God. You are lying to yourself. And I say you, I'm talking about me too. You're lying to yourself, you're lying to God. I have no patience. I don't have, and when people say they have no patience, they convince themselves that they don't have it, and then they start acting like it. I just can't say, I ain't got no patience. I ain't got no patience. How many of you know when you do that, you're condemning your own self? Because the Bible tells us that we have patience. And if we didn't have patience, why would the Bible tell us to let patience have a perfect work when we don't have it? Now watch what you say. Now I'm closing with this because the clock is at 00. We got to pick this up next week. You have patience because you have the Holy Spirit. Stand to your feet. The Bible says, you want to stand to your feet while I'm talking, I'm closing. The Bible says that your body is the what? Temple of the who? Holy Spirit. Or Holy Ghost, it's saying. If your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and then the Bible talks about gifts of the Spirit. How many know Spirit traveled with gifts? And we'll look at it next week, Galatians 5. Two of those gifts that travels with the Spirit is faith and what? Patience. And for us to go around talking about, I have no patience, we're lying on God. Because you have it. It's not a patience problem. It's a self-discipline problem. And we'll talk about that next week. We'll talk about it next week. If you are a Christian, you have faith. You have faith because God gave you a measure. And if you have faith, you have patience because faith and patience travel together. When you say you don't have patience, you're condemning your own self. And you're lying on God. You're lying on the Word. Because the Word says we have patience. There's a verse in the Bible that says we have need of patience. Because if we don't have need of patience, I'll show it to you next week, we won't be able to cross the finish line. Well, if we have need of patience, and the Bible says God shall supply all of our need, He knows that we need patience to cross the finish line, He's already given it to us. Once again, it's not a patience problem, Christian, that we have. It's a self-discipline, self-control problem. And we'll talk about it more next week. I'm here to tell you. You are victorious through Christ Jesus. Yes, we are engaged in a race. We're involved in a race. The battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. But we are involved in a race. And the race is not against one another. It's a race against life. It's a race to try to make it to eternal life. And we have to run the race the way Jesus ran it. He ran it with patience. Yes, we're going to face obstacles in our life. Some of us, when we go home today, there's going to be some kind of obstacle that Satan has thrown into our path to try to affect us. But as long as we stay on the course, as long as we stay on the path, as long as we continue to trust in the Lord, as long as we continue to trust God, believe that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, follow the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, as long as we do that, although it seems like we might want to give up, don't quit. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to stay in the tunnel until you see the light. And while you're in the tunnel, you're not there by yourself. God is there with you. Because the Bible says he goes before us. The Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. So he's right there with us. Don't listen to Satan's lies. He's trying to get us to quit. Jesus' victory is your victory. I'm going to ask you all to do something next week. Invite someone to come with you to church. This message should be worldwide. Not because Pastor Ron is teaching, but it's because it's the truth. Christians are in bondage. They're giving up. Once again, it's not how we start, it's how we finish. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, the race is not given to the swift. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, only those who endure to the end is going to get the prize. We're going to face trials and tribulations. We're going to face persecutions in this world. Jesus faced them. And he tells us to be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. And if he did it, we can do it through him. Are y'all still with me? You might trip up and fall somewhere along the track. But remember to just pick yourself up. And you don't have to be picking up by yourself. Because like the song says, you are my strength. Reaches to me. God will pick you up, put you back on the track, and you just continue to move forward. And don't look back. There are many people in your life that will try to pull you back. If God wants us to go back, then he wouldn't tell us to go forward. There's nothing back but what you left before you started moving forward. Keep going forward. Stay on the course. Trust in God. And follow Jesus. Amen. Somebody give God a hand praise because he's worthy.